بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول الله صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. فما بعد, we were looking at the purpose of عبادات, and yesterday we looked at the issue of salah, that salah, just to do salah is not the objective of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said aqimus salah, he said establish salah, it means establishing salah in our whole life, which means the spirit of salah should be established in the whole. The actual action of salah is there in the masjid or wherever we pray, but the spirit of salah, which is the spirit of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must be established in our whole life. Today we look at I gave you the dalil of this from the Quran. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, salah separates you from all kinds of disobedience and all kinds of shamelessness, and therefore we must monitor our life to see whether this is happening. If it is not happening, then maybe our salah is not accepted. We have to see what is the state of the salah. If I may be praying, but how do I know it's accepted? Because if it is accepted, then the results have to be seen in the rest of life. And if the results are not being seen in the rest of life, it means that maybe the salah is not accepted. So I have to improve my salah, improve my khushu, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah wa istighfar, change my life, so that the salah is accepted, and that the proof of that will be in my life. Today we look at, inshallah, the question of sawm, of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed on those before you, so that you become muttaqeen. So therefore, the purpose of fasting is not simply to stay hungry and thirsty. It is not dieting, it is not to lose weight, it is not to put your metabolism in order or balance or all kinds of things. People say that's not the purpose. The purpose of fasting is to become muttaqun. So therefore, we have to look at our fasting. We have to see whether it is Ramadan, and or whether it is, this ayat is concerning Ramadan, but whether it's Ramadan or else or otherwise, what is my fasting doing for me? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your hunger and thirst has no meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not telling you to do this so that you remain hungry and thirsty. What is valuable is taqwa. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that we never do anything to displease Him. And this comes out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't fear Allah, we fear disobeying Allah. We fear the displeasure of Allah. We fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, taqwa is an outcome of hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more a person loves Allah, the more the person fears to offend the one who he loves. This is a natural tendency even in our lives. Those we love the most, we are afraid of offending them. Somebody you don't care about, it doesn't matter, you get offended, no problem. But somebody we love, somebody we respect, somebody we honor, your parents or whoever it might be, we want to make sure that they are never hurt by us, they are never offended by us. The question of hurt and so on does not arise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point I'm saying is that the love of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Allah made this specific statement with respect to the believers. He said that the believers are those who not only love Allah, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. So the more we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we fear to disobey Him, because we do not want to disobey the one that we love the most. How can you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this brings us to the third point, which is to say the importance of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah? The way to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in two ways. One is to look at His glory and majesty, And the way he described himself in the Quran, the way Rasulullah, if we read especially the Masnoon Du'as of Rasulullah, how Nabi Sallallahu is to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read all of that, then it puts this glory and magnificence and the kibriyai of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts. The second way of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to reflect on the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us. Now, this is a very, very important thing. I was having a conversation on WhatsApp a couple of days ago with a friend of mine, very dear friend of mine in the US. So I had gone to the barber shop. So I told him, as soon as I get back home from the barber shop, I will send you whatever it was, some document. So he said, blessed are those who still need to go to the barber shop. This is the beauty. This is the beauty of it. Now think about that. If you go bald, then there is no need for a barber shop. I mean, I've always thought to myself that appreciating what Allah has given us in the so-called small things. The small thing looks like a small thing until you lose it. This is one of the tendencies of the human being, and we should try to guard against this. We become conscious of the ni'mah of Allah only after it is gone. Yeah, very tragic thing this is. While it is there, we take it for granted. So we have to really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I say sometimes it's a good thing. Just sit down quietly by yourself, take a piece of paper and list down, write down. Do this as an actual exercise. Sit down with a piece of paper and list down the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you specifically. I'm not talking about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what Allah does with the sun and the moon and the rain. No. You, me personally. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for each one of them. Now, this is what brings love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Again, ta'ala Allahul Amsal, Allah is beyond and above any example that we give. But the same thing also in our life. You know, who do you love the most? The people you have benefited from the most. Your close friends, they give you a gift or something, they invite you for something, they honor you, they are nice to you, they smile at you, they laugh and joke. So these are the people we love the most, because we have this connection with them and we are thankful to them for what we get from them. Now imagine, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every breath we take comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the feeling, small things. You know, if your nose is blocked one day, what kind of misery you go through? Just think about it. I mean, nothing, there is no permanent damage, it's no big disease, nothing, alhamdulillah. Just that for some cold or some, you know, allergy or something, your nose is blocked. What kind of misery you go through? You have to breathe through your mouth, your throat gets dry, then it gets, it feels scratchy and, you know, all kinds, just because the nose is blocked. So how much should we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can breathe freely without my nose being blocked? That is all. The sky didn't fall down, nothing. So-called simple thing. The fact that my nose is not blocked. The fact that I can sit down and I can stand up without pain. I mean, we are all reaching the age when suddenly you discover a new part of your body because now it starts paining. Until then you thought it's not there. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah keep us all in, and all of you in good shape and in good health, and always mobile inshallah, and not dependent on anybody until the last minute when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. May Allah save us from being dependent on any makhluk in this world or the next. This is the dua I make. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must keep us safe from this, inshallah. So therefore, the issue of fasting is to monitor and say, am I becoming a muttaqi? Because this is the purpose of fasting. Purpose of fasting is not to simply be hungry. And as we know, fasting, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? While you are fasting, if somebody wants to argue with you, or, you know, is getting angry with you, or whatever reason, abusing you, what must you say? You must say, Ana Saim, I am fasting. Now, this does not mean that when you are not fasting, you should do the opposite of that. No. The same thing. The purpose of, these are all training, take it another way of looking at it. These are like training sessions for the rest of life. So, Salah is a training session for the rest of the day. So, it's, you know, multiple times in a day. This is a training session. You came here, you stood behind the Imam, you did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do. So, therefore, now when we go outside, this is what we should do. Similarly, fasting is a training session. That Ramadan is 30 days of intensive training session for the rest of the year and the rest of the life. What must we do is control your desires, eat halal, do what Allah has told you to do, right? Control your emotions, control your tongue, all of this. I mean, the fasting is a combination of all these things. And then the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do all this, what happens? We become muttaqeen. And if you know, and I've said this so many times, all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran are for the muttaqoon. They're not for just the being a Muslim. Being a Muslim is a boundary condition. Here is the door, you cross this line, you are a Muslim. Khalas. But the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the acceptance of dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawajjuh on us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, all of this comes for the people who are muttaqoon, who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also becomes their kafil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kafil of, there's a default kifalat of Allah, which is for all the makhluk. There's nothing in the world which can exist without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating it and sustaining it in every single way. So, there is a default setting, which is for everybody. But then there is a special kifalat for those who are the muttaqoon, who are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, now we bring this taqwa into our lives, then it extends to how we earn, what we earn, where we spend, what we eat, where we go, who we are in the company with, our akhlaq, our muamilat, the entire muashara, our whole society. All of this is a reflection of the taqwa of the individual. Right? All of this is a reflection of the taqwa of the individual. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu makes a speech when he is made the Khalifa, when he is selected. What does he say? He says, as long as I operate and as I work according to the Kitab and Sunnah, you must follow me. And if I deviate from this, then you must stop me. What is this? The statement of taqwa. Statement of his personal taqwa, which is now carried forward into his worldly role as the ruler of the Muslims. So the same thing applies everywhere in all our lives to everything we do. Your personal taqwa gets translated into your work, into your home, into your office, into the way you walk on the road, the way you drive your car, everything. Wherever we are, our personal taqwa is reflected. If it is not reflected, then we have to question, do I have it in the first place? Because if I claim or I feel to myself, I am a muttaqi person, but it's not visible anywhere, then what kind of taqwa is this? It must be visible. It must be visible in my actions, in my dealings, not only in salah. I mean, salah is one part where it is visible, but it must be visible also elsewhere. And this is all a part of taqwa. The fact that I know, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing. Things like, for example, we come into the masjid, we pick up a chair, we put it somewhere, and then we walk away. You know, almost everybody does it. I told Rafi bhai when he first came, I said, you are the first person I have seen who always takes the chair and puts it back where it is. Allah jazaa khair. First person I have seen. Nahi karte. Just pick up a chair, put somewhere. Chair is for you, no problem. Please pick it up, put it where you want, sit. But then you leave it there and go away. Then, who must pick it up? All of this is a sign of taqwa. How is a chair a sign of taqwa? Because you are aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. This is the house of Allah. I must be orderly in this. I must do what is supposed to be done. If there is a light switch on, I must put it off. People come into the masjid, they turn on every light. And they, literally, I've seen people, their finger goes across the... Do you do that in your house? Because somebody else is paying the electricity bill, you turn on every... Why do you read every... The lights are for you. You turn on a light in the area where you want to sit and read something, please, no problem. Nobody is saying sit in darkness. But why must every single light be turned on when you enter the masjid? So these are all signs of taqwa. How we behave is a sign of taqwa. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us muttaqeen and to enable us to enjoy the beauty of this deen. All of this is not a burden. This is a beauty. This is something which we enjoy and something which we are very happy. Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us Muslim, gave us Islam, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين.